When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
AT&T Fiber presents a straightforward moment.
Your wine?
Thanks. I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gagillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase in 12 months. Live like a gagillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
Hello, friends. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. I'm going to kick this episode off with a little bit of a cold opening to explain the show. Today we're doing double shots. That's double shots of rock from new artists and new songs or classic artists that happen to have new albums out. So we did a ton of these in a long session. So this might be a three-parter. And it's also a three-parter because we actually came prepared for this episode. Notes, facts about the band, things we basically never do. We just basically talk and go in tangents and end up inserting songs along the way that we talk about, bands we talk about. So this time we wanted to keep it on script. But of course, as soon as it starts, Baco asked me about a Queenstrike, Dokken, and Eddie Trunk, quote, comedy act concert I just saw. So instead of talking about new rock, we start talking about bands from 30 plus years ago. But it's podcast gold, I tell you. Because of the fact that it's a lot of talk right in the beginning of the episode, we're going to kick it off with the latest track from The Last Vegas. Their album comes out March 18th, and it's called Bloodthirsty. Enjoy.
Lean.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, along with the great, the flammable, the incredible Baco. How are you, sir?
I am well and extra flammable tonight.
Well done. Well, you know, it's been a while, right?
Yeah, well, what, at least a few weeks? No longer than that, huh?
I think it's been 2 months since we actually recorded. Last couple we did a double shot of Guns N' Roses, two episodes, right?
Correct. It was delicious.
It was.
And got a lot of good feedback on that, by the way. Some people, like friends of mine that never listened, actually checked it out. So,
no, that was nice to see. Our Facebook, you know, we're smaller podcasts, but we're definitely building. I think we went up like 40 likes from that episode alone and tons of listens. And we're just glad that
which people, percentage-wise, is pretty huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's good. I think we brought a couple more people to the fold. Actually, one of them I'm about to mention in a second. But
it's one of the few ones I've gone back and listened to more than once. So
yeah, it was really fun mixing it too. I love doing it and just rediscovering those albums. But anyway, and fighting,
kill me, Luce.
Fighting with you. I'm sure you liked the little clip right in the beginning too.
That was hilarious. I loved it.
Why don't you just kill me?
Yeah, for those who don't know, that was a nice little treat for me. I didn't know that was going to be right at the beginning.
Yes. So. Well, anyway, so we're going to get back into it, and before we do, I want to send some thanks out. We, as a podcast, we have some minor costs, but they are costs, and all of them are not listed on this, but there are several podcasts out there that have a service called Patreon, and most of the time, it's like you donate $1 per episode or so much per month, and it's kind of like a subscription fee.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts do it that way.
Decibel Geek does it. I've heard many other ones do that. And, you know, what we decided to do is we're not looking to make any money on this. All we're looking for is we have a fee of $150 per year for using SoundCloud hosting. So right. Essentially what we did is it's right on our Facebook page, and the link's right there. Basically, as soon as we hit $150, we'll shut up about it. You'll never hear us talk about it again, but you can donate tiers of $5, $10, $15, or $20. And why don't you break down what our loyal listeners will get with those level of donations?
Yeah, Baco. Sure, no problem. At the $5 tier, you'll get nothing. At the $10 tier, you will also get nothing. But if you go to the $15 tier, you're still going to get nothing. Now, actually, like you said, we're really just looking to cover the hosting fees. It took Luce a while to explain to me that we were going to collect money and I wasn't going to get any of it, and for me to accept that. But once we got past that, I kind of got what he's going for. No, look, we do this for fun. It's just, it costs a little bit to keep it up. And if you enjoy the show, we'd really appreciate it if you threw something in there. It'll send you good karma. I will say this, if you donate $1,000 and cover the next decade or close to of our hosting fees, you can hang out with me for a Viking game. We'll watch it together and, you'll never come back to my house again.
Okay, excellent. I'll add that on there. You can do whatever. You can actually just donate $2, $4, $8. It doesn't matter. But we've already got some donations so far. I want to say thanks to Chris Sinzak and Aaron Camaro at Decibel Geek. They donated $10. We got
thanks, some, guys.
Yeah, thanks. We got Tommy Royale, who donated $15, and he came out of nowhere. I've never seen him on Facebook or anything, but I messaged him and he said he was brought in by the Guns N' Roses eps and have just absolutely just been going back.
Visitor.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Killing me. All right. Let me do that again. Damn it. My daughter.
I think you should leave it in.
She's been asleep an hour and now she just awakes for no reason. It comes in my studio. Damn it.
What can you do?
Oh, I had it all planned out. Okay. Wife's daughter. Huh?
I had it all planned out.
I did.
She ruined it.
She did.
Damn meddling kids. All right. Well, I know it's been a while since we talked, and so yep. This may be a little deeper into your memories, but I know you went to see Queensryche and Dokken down at the America's Armpit, the southern tip of America's penis.
Yes, correct. Yeah, so I'm in South Florida, so I'm near the bottom of the schlong. And there's this venue that is my utopia. It's called the Pompano Beach Amphitheater, and it's about a 2,500 amphitheater. And the most random bands lately have been coming down here. Ones that I definitely wanted to see, and ones that are like, there's a promoter that definitely likes 80s rock bands. And because we never, I always bitch about the bands that come to you, correct?
Correct.
All right. So, you know, I've gone to a few, some Kicks, LA Guns, Slaughter, Lita Ford, Motorhead, Anthrax, and then this one was, like you just said, Doc and Queenstrike. And it actually landed on February 27th, which happened to be my birthday, and I thought, what better way to celebrate?
Happy birthday.
Thank you. What way to better celebrate my birthday than with two bands who, you know, have not many members from the original band and also haven't had anything relevant in 30 years, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Well, doesn't Queensryche have three of the five?
Three of the five what?
Members. They're only missing the two most important ones.
Yeah, something like that.
Like the two songwriters are gone.
Right. All right. So right now, you know, any Queensryche fans' head is exploding with these comments so far. But the point being is listen, it's still, I was like, you know,
wait a second, is there not a divide like there is in Kiss, like fans that support only the new and fans support only the old? There's actually, they all support
both? Well, all right, I'll get into it now. But,
okay.
But there was a hidden surprise that you may not know about that opened for the show. It wasn't just those two bands, it was another opening act. Do you know who it was?
Well, of course, but I'm going to let you do the honors here.
Eddie Trunk!
Of course Eddie Trunk was there in South Florida for no fucking reason.
Now, I want to make sure you understand this. He often is like the MC at these things at the Hard Rock Casino down here.
Yeah, you told me that. It's right.
He's there all the time.
Must be like the same promoter.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's always hawking his whatever that book is called, classic rock book, and whatnot.
Yeah, hold up real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
No shit. His booking agent is out of St. Paul here.
Huh, okay.
But it's called ARM, ARM Entertainment. And, I mean, they handle all those bands, whatever Rat is now, Queensryche, Great
they
White.
Do. That must be why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so, you know, usually he just comes up there and says, my name is Eddie Trunk, here's this band about to come on, and go buy my book after the show. That's his usual thing. But this time, though...
Does he ever hang out and sign anything?
He does,
Am I getting ahead of you?
Right. No, I mean, no, not at all. I mean, at these other concerts, he always says, like at the Hard Rock, he says, meet me at the Hard Rock Casino Bar and I'll be signing books after the show. And what happens is what I've described in other times, it's not a very good system. He shouldn't do it that way because at the end of the show, I've completely forgot about him. I've had three beers like that or whatever. I've had a bunch of drinks.
Sure.
And at that point, you go like, hey, let's go fucking do whatever it is. And you forget about him. He probably has, you know, if he's right there, like in the halls of the... like near the exit, that would make more sense. Yeah. So anyway, so this time though, he was actually on the bill. It was advertised as Eddie Trunk, Dokken, Queenstrike.
In your C&I chart, he was at the bottom.
Right. He was on the bottom, but he was actually listed like he was like something that would actually make you, it would bring you to the concert. Like, you know, Dokken and Queenstrike is there, but Eddie Trunk's opening. I should go. And the only thing in my mind was, what do you think I was thinking about him opening? What would be your questions about, like,
what's he gonna wear?
That wasn't actually a question, but yes, he.
Oh wait, he was doing a Q&A?
No, that's what I'm expecting. Oh. Okay, you were thinking maybe it's a Q&A, right? Maybe he's doing.
Oh, like I'm thinking, like, what's actually Eddie Trunk going to do?
Yeah, I mean, he's on the bill, so obviously he's not going to be like, here's these bands. Like, he has some kind of act he's going to do.
A striptease would be awesome, but I doubt that's what you got.
No, but and I was like, oh, maybe he's going to do Stump the Trunk and get some people there earlier, okay. Or do something that's in his skill set. Okay, so he hits the stage and comes out in his stage outfit, which basically looks like. Is the same outfit that I wore this weekend when I was putting down mulch in my backyard.
Yeah, he is quite the snappy dresser, but
Not like we're amazing dressers ourselves, but this guy looked like, and he looked like he fell asleep in a shrub. I mean, he just looked like he just woke up. I think he just dusted some leaves off himself, and there he was. And
well, even on that metal show, I mean, although I have to say what you're describing sounds worse. You know, he just kind of has that slobby, I'm not aware that there's a camera here mentality. Like, I wear this to radio, why not for television? He doesn't get that, you know, but carry on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, anyway, so that's here.
So he didn't take one question and 40 minutes later finish answering.
Oh my God. No, thank God he was on there for, he was on for 20 minutes. And instead of doing things that he has, you know, whatever your opinion of him is, but obviously you're a DJ, you have this, like if we were to go on stage, I know I would fail miserably. Cause he tried to do, and what I mean by that is doing, he attempted to do stand up. Okay.
What do you mean? Like jokes and stuff?
Yes. Okay. So he got, No, listen to this. So he got up on stage and he decided that instead of doing whatever he is used to doing, on that metal show or on a show, he decided I'm going to tell a story that is supposed to be funny. And because that is not really in his talent area, he decided to tell a story about two people. He started to tell a story about people that are funny, or at least somewhat funny. Jim Florentine and
Don Jameson.
Okay. And he told a story, and I'm going to break it down. And
does
actually,
he know those guys?
Huh?
Does he know those guys?
Very funny. So he decided to tell...
it's not that hard.
All right. He decided that this is what the audience wants. Okay? He decided to tell a story that goes like this. And I'll just tell it to you. It'll take about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Hey, I know these guys, Don and Jim, and for their audition tape for that metal show, he started bitching about the fact that it was canceled, too. That was his start. Do you have any comments about that?
Well, I mean, what was his bitch?
Just the fact that you know, VH1, this is one of the only things that they have that's still music, and then they canceled it, and they're going to put on some other shitty reality show.
I like the show. I wish it was still on. It'll find a new home.
It's probably going to be some version.
VH1 didn't really do original programming for the most part. The VH1 Classic, I mean.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I watched the first couple seasons of it, and I enjoyed it. It got a little repetitive near the end, and the guests kept getting a little shadier, to my opinion, but... But
overall, yeah, I mean, the guest had a lot to do with it, but
exactly. But okay, so he tells a story that goes like this. He said Jim and Don send in. I vouched for these guys. And said I got to have them on the metal show, so they send in an audition tape, and I sent it on to the producer and said, here's this guys. You know, I'm sure this is their little comedy routine. Here you go. And he said he never watched it. He just forwarded it on in an email. And the lady calls back and says, who are these people? I can't believe you sent this to me. And so it was a video of Jim Florentine completely naked. And he was in his hotel room and decided, because Don was filming, to do an upper decker. Do you know what an upper decker is?
Yes.
You do? Okay. That's when you take a shit inside the actual tank of the toilet bowl, right?
Yep.
And he said that basically they did that and... some of the fact that when they flush, the turd comes actually into the bowl. Okay. So that was what it was. But this took a long time to tell. And I'm thinking, this is what you're starting the show with. Okay. Kind of went nowhere. And
well, hey, devil's advocate here. I mean, he was getting paid and flown in. I think we're probably on the same page. Like, don't bother flying Eddie Trunk in. You're not going to sell extra tickets with him here.
I just didn't see the value. I know he's the spokesman for Hard Rock and all that.
From his point of view, what is he supposed to do? I guess I don't know. It definitely is weird. I think I might have been uncomfortable sitting there listening to that.
But I can tell you though that it was like during his routine. Unfortunately, there was. I mean, if you wanted to, you could hear crickets. It was like watching a bad speech where you're kind of feeling bad for him and everything like that. But anyway, that started off, and I was like, "This is great already. This is exactly what I want." This is what I was expecting.
That's one of the weird things that you and I kind of share in common. We almost root for the train wreck in some of these situations. And,
I do, and that's coming on in a second. The beginning. Okay, that was the engine. The motor is starting to get on the rails. It's going around the corner, and the first thing it does, it starts falling over. And I'll tell you an example. So
the little engine that could.
I know. So then here's the breakdown. They go, all right, everybody. Oh, that's why the Eddie Trunk's intro. What do you think Eddie Trunk's intro for Dokken was? Come on, you know what it is. Are you ready to
rock with Dokken?
Get rocking with Dokken.
Okay.
So then he leaves the stage, and then there's, you know, you would think right when he says that, what would happen?
Well,
they would come
Dokken
on stage.
Would come on.
Okay, so then there's like 5 minutes, and you're like, what the fuck?
No way.
Oh, yeah, there's like 5 minutes.
Did he even say, like, all right, well, sit tight. They're going to be out here in just a few minutes, anything like that?
No.
Dokken!
You're Dokken, and you expect, like, you know, that I'm come out and, like, kicking ass. So 5 minutes go by, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, they go, like, all right. Somebody else is like, here's Dokken. The band comes on out and everything. They start, you know, start riffing and everything, not going into a song yet. And then they keep looking around, where the fuck is Dokken? Don's not there. They do this for about 2 minutes. They all look at each other and they go, fuck it. They all leave the stage, all three guys. The band goes back out because Dokken's not coming out. And they're like, so then they have to start that again. They come out again, and he comes out. He's wearing this long, like, leather coat that, and his, I think he was back there because his wig was off. I mean, it wasn't on because his wig still looked a little off when he came out, which is fine. Listen,
well documented, by the way. He has he's full disclosure wig wear.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Right. I mean, it's all good, but I think that was what it was. He was like, I can't get it right. He came out with like a red, you know, a red cup.
I think he was arguing with the promoter to get $100 more.
So I'm anyway. Not going out on stage until you give me $100 more.
So I can summarize Dokken like this. They come out and Dokken goes to the middle of the stage, and basically, you know, you've been to Chuck E. Cheese before, right?
Yep.
Okay, so he's basically like an animatronic, those things on stage at Chuck E. where they just slightly move the arms left and right.
Where you were going.
Okay, and then that's pretty much it. And the coat was on. He would move a little back and forth. His vocals were thankfully mostly buried. He could not hit anything high up.
He's been shot for a long time.
Oh, it's really bad. And you know, I like Dokken. I mean, I went.
Oh, they were one of my bands, man.
Right. So anyway, so I went there, and you know, but the band first off is on. I can't remember his name, but the guy that the replacement for, you know, their new George Lynch.
Is it John Norum? They've had so many. I don't know.
It's a guy that's also, I think, the band's lawyer or something like that. But he's
so it had to have changed.
But I can just tell this.
Did they have Reb Beach for a while too?
Sure.
But, whatever. Carry on. I'll look it up while you're doing that.
Yeah, but essentially, the band was tight, very tight. But of course, the weak link was
the drummer.
Same guy, Wild McBrown.
It is him. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess it's two out of the four because the bassist is not Pilsen anymore.
No. He's a douche, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
All right. But the band was on. They played like 10 or 11 songs, but unfortunately the vocals were whatever. So that was that. So, but he, at one
John
point...
John Levin.
Yeah. So at one point, Don goes, hey, when he actually decided to talk to the crowd, he goes, hey, let me tell you about this coat. And I don't know why I'm doing this voice. But he goes,
let me tell you about his coat.
He goes, this leather coat, I don't know if you recognize it. And he paused for somebody to go like, I recognize that coat! And like, nobody has said anything, of course.
Was it from Beast from the East?
No, well, it was from the In Your Dreams video is what he said. Oh. He's like, this is from, you might have seen it on MTV in about 1985. He goes, this is the same jacket.
I'm like, oh my God.
I'm like, okay, I'm glad you like the jacket. But so that was the Dokken. But then the next thing is and all I can say about Queenstrike is I've seen them one. Have you ever seen with Jeff Tate before?
The original? Yes, many times.
Really? So you're a fan?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Musically, I checked out probably. Well, Empire is okay, but really, Operation Mindcrime was the last great record by them.
I agree.
And the stuff that came out after Empire was, I don't know. Scattered. I don't even remember. I can't name songs or even album titles. I really was onto other stuff at that point.
All right. Well, I've always, for Queenstrike, I've always had a, you know, I call them Queen Shriek, Queef Shrek. I mean, first off.
I like Queef Shrek.
To this day, I still can't, like if I was at a spelling bee and they said spell Queenstrike, I'd be like, that's it. I'm out. I'm done. Because I've written that down so many times, but every time I do it, I fuck it up. So
it's among the all-time worst band names ever.
Oh, by far. I mean,
that would suck so bad to like. What if like all the guys that kicked Jeff Tate out of the band are actually really cool guys that really dig it, but like they gotta. That's the only marketable thing to them is that name.
That's right.
Quickly on the Jeff Tate note, did you see when he was on that metal show shortly after he was basically kicked out of the band?
This was during the vest era?
Yeah.
Okay.
You remember you heard about the whole spitting on the drummer?
Yeah. I know all about that stuff. It's crazy.
Did you see when they asked him about it? It was one of the... I mean, first of all, I don't know the guy, so I'm not even sure how to read this. He's like, well, historically, spitting on somebody is a major sign of disrespect.
Disrespect.
And I think that was the intent.
Like, I know.
Okay, what do you mean you think? You're the guy who did it. You can't even say, I was pissed off. That was a dick move, but he's a dick too. Whatever. I don't even get what you just said. Are you sorry or not?
No, it's a whole soap opera. Awesome. But the yeah. So in summary, because we're going on this a little too long, but in summary, the Queenstrike got on and they were Queenstrike. I mean, they were the band was tight. The replacement singer, I don't even know his name. Do you know?
Yeah, Todd LaTour.
There you go. Yeah, I did.
He's
know
a douche
that.
Too, by the way.
Huh. Well, you know, he did, you know, he's a dead ringer for his vocals and everything. It probably sounds better than Jeff does now. And
yeah, he's just still a good singer.
Yeah. Oh, he is? Okay. But anyway, so it was definitely more energetic, but I just realized that the only thing is they played a lot of new stuff and they really only played, I think, two songs. My buddy actually said they weren't allowed contractually to play anything off of Operation Mindcrime, because that was the name of Jeff's band now. He said that he owns the rights to only play those songs. Yeah. But it's not true, because they played...
Oh, you can play anything you want in a band.
Well, that's
he owns the name and the marketing angle of Operation Mindcrime, and... I don't know.
Right.
I'm not a freaking copyright lawyer.
Supposedly, that they said that he wanted to own the rights to play those songs too, and I'm like, I was like, oh, God, I hope that's not true, but no. So basically, we decided that today we're going to do double shots of new music, but we're going to kick it off with.
And you're picking the first one.
No, I'm going to play two a Queenstrike and a Dokken song.
Oh, that's our double shot. Gotcha.
For that one, right.
Okay,
so do that. Yeah, I'm not going to subject people to four songs from a not new band.
Just got lucky. I've been hypnotized.
Eric Bacco, that was a nice, what, 30-minute intro to the first double shot?
Yeah. Ugh, my back hurts.
My goodness, that was a lot of talking. Well, you know, the reason we can do that is the fact that, well, there's not much to say about these new bands, is there?
No, I mean, you know, we get exposed to the music, but you don't really have the history that, you know, like, I mean, shit, you know, we've been following Dokken and Queensryche for the bigger part of our life, but can't say the same about the next band.
Yeah, and the whole thing about the show when it started was, you know, we're supposed to feature new music with newer bands that have the attitude and hooks and melody of classic rock bands, but the challenge there is there's nothing really to say about them because they don't have, I mean, half the time, most of the time, I should say, you don't even know who's in the band. Because it's just a different, you know, they don't have the promotion of old and you don't have the history like you just said. But here's a band that is one of the, what do I like to call the bands that are on these big fests, the ones you don't know?
Oh, you're talking about the CNI chart, the bottom? Mm-hmm. I can't remember, do you have a special term for
those? Yeah, no, that's it, the CNI chart bands, basically the bottoms. And I always
they're at the back side of your t-shirt towards the bottom.
On the left-hand side, under the armpit.
Yes.
That's their place. Well, I always like just start going under Spotify, seeing if I can find something I actually want to purchase.
Actually, a very good tip for anybody who wants to learn how to or find new bands.
Oh, absolutely. That's how I found the majority of the ones that I've played in the past. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, you basically finished my sentence.
Yeah. So one of them that I'd heard of, but I really never go listen to, is a band out of Akron, Ohio, called Red Sun Rising.
Now, when you sent me the list of these bands, we started talking about this a few weeks ago, if I recall right. Mm-hmm. And most of the stuff was on there. This is the one band I got a chance to check out, and I listened to the record that has,
it's called Polyester Zeal. It's a weird.
These are on the same record, right? Because I swear these songs are the ones that I was gonna flag. I know Amnesia was. I don't remember for sure. Other Side, but they had like an EP or something. They only had like one or two songs. That was the newest thing.
Okay,
and this was the album Back, if I recall.
This is from.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Last, I'm not 100%. On at least on Spotify and iTunes, the only thing I've seen is this one that came out in mid 2015, I believe. Anyway, okay. This one's called Polyester Zeal, and yes, the tracks. This is tracks 2 and 3 on it. If that helps you for the names, but essentially, my impression of this band is the first one I heard was Other Side, and at first I was like, okay, this kind of sounds like Alice in Chains, but as soon as it hits the chorus, it sounds like Shinedown, like very
okay
big chorus. He kind of sounds a little like Brett Smith. I always forget his name.
That's it, Brent.
Brent Smith.
Brent Smith.
And it sounds like the, now what I mean by it sounds like Shinedown is it sounds like the Shinedown.
Not exactly of old. Elvis Presley.
Yeah, I know that's not a very good name. But, you know, and I was like, huh. And at first I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. And then it started growing on me. I started really liking his vocals. And I was like, this is basically how Shinedown should sound like now versus what they've become. And Amnesia, I mean, I can't get that chorus out of my head. I mean, that is a great song, and that one definitely is Shinedown-esque.
I'm pretty sure I like it, but I think I forgot it.
What do you mean?
Amnesia.
Ba-da-dum-bum-bum. Okay, I'll add a drum roll there.
Hey-oh!
But yeah, I don't know anybody in the band. I know they're from Akron, Ohio. I know that they're playing on all these AEG fests.
You
know
what crap you give me about the way I pronounce certain words? Akron?
Akron? Did I just say Akron?
It's Akron. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know what it's like.
I'll look up the phonetic pronunciation. I'm not from Ohio, but I should know that. But anyway, so the point being is that it actually, for some of these fests, when I was like looking at these saying like, I don't want to go to this. And there's another band I'm going to mention too down here. Actually, a few of these that kind of started selling me to go to them, like Northern Invasion, because it kind of filled the gaps. You know, when you first see them, you're like, okay, I know these.
Wait, Red Sun Rising is going to be there?
I think they are. I might be wrong. They're one of the few that are not, that they seem to be in almost all of them, all the ones around. But
three festivals lined up this summer. I should actually start looking at who's going to be there.
That's probably a good idea. So, okay, man. So, why don't you intro it?
You said they're from Akron?
Whatever you ordered, you don't even
Akron,
need to
Akron, Ohio zone. Right. Red sun rising. Let's kick it off with some Amnesia. Don't forget the song.
And Other Side.
This isn't your only one.
All right, well, so we're back from the other side. How are you doing, Luce?
I'm great.
So we're going to talk about Ghost, I guess. How is did you...
Ghost or Ghost BC or what the hell are they called now?
I think it's Ghost, it was Ghost, and then it was Ghost BC because of some legal thing, and I believe they've gotten that figured out, and they're back to just being called Ghost.
Fair enough.
How did you first hear about these guys?
Well, I knew that scene with, what is it, Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, with the, where they're forming the Clay, and I just heard about that movie, and it just wasn't what I expected when I heard about the band.
Okay. I was in a Borders Books. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Okay, well, they had a magazine that I think it was, maybe AP. Doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? They were on the cover, and they had that Pope guy with the skeleton makeup. I just couldn't believe, I kind of laughed. I'm like, I have got to check this out when I get home.
Right.
And sure enough, they're like hypnotic to watch, and I'm watching like cell phone quality videos and actually looking for the next song, and that, I mean, this shit is garbage. Anyway, there is this shitty fucking club in that's not even open anymore in St. Paul, but it was here forever. I've actually played this place. That's how shitty it is. And they were playing
That's how you judge it. Okay.
Yeah. If I've played it, it ain't that big a deal.
Your self-worth is amazing.
Yes. Anyway, Overkill used to play there every 3 months.
Okay. Well, that means it's horrible. Continue.
Anyway, so they were playing there, and then they canceled, and then they came back, and it was just out of perverted curiosity, and so I went, and I fucking loved the show, and there's a guy next to me yelling "Hail Satan," and I don't know, it was just a good time overall. Anyway, I got the CD after that, and I loved the first record.
You did.
And then Dave Grohl did an EP with them. That isn't bad. It's all cover tunes.
It's called Have You Got Ghost or You Got
Some
Ghost.
Yeah, Do You Have Ghost?
Yeah.
That was the cover. I can't, whatever. And then their last record before the one that's out now, so whatever, their second full length. It was a little operatic and I didn't care for it as much, but apparently I'm missing something on the new one that maybe I need to check out.
Yeah, okay. So I've been a somewhat Ghost fan, at least that I now know their music, for about a month. I mean, I knew of them, and I was just like, ugh, it's just.
I mean, how would you describe it? Is it goth, or I don't even know?
It's kind of, you know, yeah, it's something that, some of it reminds me of, Blue Oyster Cult, or some kind of, that kind of thing, where it's the Satanist stuff is a joke, it's all
part of an act
and all that stuff.
That's part of the fun of it, though.
It's part of the fun.
Go ahead. I don't think you're trying to put something over on people,
No. And, but I heard, I guess the first album that I heard that I scanned through was the second one, and I found it horrible. And I was like, "This is this band." I'm like, "What a joke! They could be kick ass or something like that." And it did nothing for me. Then I heard that they won a Grammy, and I was like, "What the fuck? Maybe I just need to take a look at this."
Did you see their Grammy red carpet interview?
I was gonna say, did they show up in those outfits?
They did. He did not wear the Pope hat, but other than that.
It was a formal event.
I encourage everybody to look up Ghost Red Carpet video.
You know what?
It is how they should all be.
Okay, well, let me do this. That's going to be one of our image, our main image for the episode, possibly. Is there a still? I'm sure
there
is. I'll find a picture of
it. Is, oh, God. They asked him how to talk about their outfits, and he's like, well, it starts up here at the neck, and... goes all the way to our shoes.
So, I paid them no mind. I thought it was kind of like a gimmick, like Kiss or Alice Cooper or Marilyn Manson without the music that I liked. And I was like, that. So whatever. But, like you just said, the Grammy, I was like, I got to at least listen to it. Not that a Grammy means anything anymore or ever has, but it just got me interested. So I put on their latest one that, do you know how to pronounce it?
No.
Melioria. Melissoria.
Billy Ghost and the Dinosaurs do.
Right. Whatever it is. The Melia Orosaurus. I don't know what it means, but I put it on, and the first song that I just skip. I have this thing where I think that usually the best songs in the album is track two or three. I don't know if you've ever. It usually is like the first one is like sometimes it's great. So I went to and I listened to Pinnacle, To the Pit, and then this is another vocab word. It's like it's C-I-R-I-C-E. Cerise.
Circle.
It's not circle. There's no L. So it's like sir. It's not, no, that's not even close to circle now. But anyway, that's the second. And both of these songs just kick fucking ass. So I told my buddy Rob, friend of the show, and I said, you got to check these two songs out. He listened to them. He's like, these are kick-assy. And then all of a sudden he shot me a text over the weekend and says, I'm watching a Ghost concert on YouTube. He goes, it is amazing and fucking hilarious at the same time.
Yes,
I go,
yes.
I go, you have to see it. And I go, why? He goes, because... He goes, he talks. He goes, they'll do these, you know, they're on stage, they got the devil masks, you know, the Pope is running around. They're tight as hell. I mean, he's like, they sound great. He goes, but then he stops after a couple songs, and when he talks, he sounds like a combination of the Swedish Chef and Adam Sandler. He's kind of like, hello there. Have you ever heard him talk? I mean, it's his voice. It's the same kind of thing.
They're from Sweden.
I know, but he even has a goofier even accent.
Sure, I've seen him live. I heard him talk. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, the red carpet interview, you got to see it.
I got to see it. But no, it's the same thing as like if you just all of a sudden saw Gene Simmons sound like Mike Tyson talking. There's just
I can't believe you made that analogy. That is perfect. I've actually heard that before, but it's way too obscure.
Okay. Yeah,
just it's not worth the story.
That's fine. But anyway.
I've never heard anybody else say that. Yeah, it's like, you know, like, because, like, you're all tough and badass. It's like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, like, talking like he has helium or something. But it just breaks the show. I think they shouldn't talk, but the only reason they talk, I guarantee it, is because it's fucking hilarious. There's no way that they're
what I mean. I don't think they're trying to put anything over anybody. I definitely got the feeling that they were in on the bit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's like Spinal Tap or whatever. But, yeah, I'll definitely check out the first album now. But, yeah, I saw that it was pretty much universally panned by fans.
The first record?
No, the second one. The second one.
Oh, yeah, the second one was, yeah.
Okay, that was the one that I heard, and I immediately dismissed them. So I will check out the first one now. But you got anything else to say about these guys?
No, let's kick it off. Let's play some fucking Ghost, man.
Damn straight. We're going to do a double shot, a Pinnacle to the Pit. And a song I can hardly pronounce.
Cerici.
I can feel the thunder that's breaking in your heart. I can see through the scars inside you. I can feel the thunder that's breaking in your heart. I can see through the scars inside you. Can you hear the thunder that's breaking? Now there is nothing between us. From now our work is eternal. Can't you see that you're lost? Can't you see that you're lost without me? I can feel the thunder.
All right, we're back from a double shot of Ghost. So we're going to move on from Satan.
Ooh.
We're going to move from Satan to Canada. And the band we're going to talk about, you know, before we go talk about that, you know how we had that episode, two episodes actually, about the explosion of bands with the word black in their name, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Lazily they used the word black. Well, there's been a new movement, and that is the truck movement. We've got Trucker Diablo, which is a band we featured on the show before. There's Truck Fighters. There's one I'm forgetting, and there's the one that I'm about to talk about called Monster Truck.
And Sebastian Bach likes to say Mother Trucker a lot.
Ah, okay. So again, keep on trucking. These are it's
keep
it's,
on truck.
Keep on trucking. But you know, silly name, definitely a silly name. But they have. They're pretty much like a classic rock sounding band. Think like
I love the name.
Yeah. Do you? Okay, cool.
Yeah, we definitely differ a little bit when it comes to band names. What was that one like? I'm going way back. Let's keep going. I won't remember it, but it was one I
Crud.
Loved. Crud. I love Crud. You thought it was stupid. I love Monster Truck and these Canadians with their freaking, I don't know, what's that called? Tom something donuts? Tim Hortons.
Yes, yes.
Tim Hortons and being afraid of the dark.
That's right. I don't know the dark thing. But anyway, we're going to move on. So they had an album 2 or 3 years ago that was pretty solid. And the single for this, though, was out for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months prior. It's called Don't Tell Me How to Live. And this is just a kick. By far, that's the standout on this album. There's about 11 tracks. And again, you can kind of throw, like, I would say Blackstone Cherry, things like that. This kind of has a little bit of a southern vibe, but just revved up. And the production on this is excellent. So Southern Canada. There's a lot of, you know, they have that sound. And so Don't Tell Me How to Live is the standout. But the first track is great, too. And it's only about 2 minutes, and it has a hilarious name. It's called Why Are You Not Rocking?
At 2 minutes, you cannot go wrong.
You cannot. No, this song is kind of like a, I'll call it, Hello There, Ladies. Stroking? Like Hello There, Ladies and Gentlemen by Cheap Trick. You know, kind of a nice intro.
Oh, okay.
Or,
we're Monster Truck, listen to our record, 2 minutes are up.
Yeah, like Hello Hooray by Alice Cooper. That kind of just like, welcome to the show, Psycho Circus. That's the kind of opening song that it is. So, you know, like I'm saying, I don't really know that much about this band, except I really like these two songs.
I know
songs.
Jesus by Jesus Chrysler.
Self-promotion. It's fine. James. By the way, Baco's in a band called Jesus Chrysler. You can find them at Jesus Chrysler.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay, okay. But we've got Monster Truck. Their album's called Sittin' Heavy. And we're going to play Why Are You Not Rocking? And Don't Tell Me How to Live. I'm
All right, loyal listeners, we've come to the end for now. This is actually going to be a two-parter. So before we go, we wanted to recap the bands and track names and albums that they are from so you can go out and purchase them and support real rock and roll. So first, we started with Dokken, and it's off of that version of Just Got Lucky is off of Beast from the East. We've also got Walk in the Shadows by Queenstrike off of Rage for Order. Red Sun Rising, the album is Polyester Zeal. The two tracks we featured were Amnesia and The Other Side. Then we did Ghost with Pinnacle to the Pit and Sriracha, if that's what you, Sriracha, however you pronounce that. And then we ended with Monster Truck with Why Are You Not Rocking and Don't Tell Me How to Live. So, see you soon. And remember, rock's not dead. It's hiding.
And you found it. Well done.
We thank you people for being around, supporting Volbeat with love and hellfire. Defender we give. You're all about the sisters and the babies.
AT&T Fiber presents a straightforward moment.
Your wine?
Thanks. I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gigillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase in 12 months. Live like a gigillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.